The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Bob Dio, my engineer producer on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to the final day of April. It's Tuesday, April 30th, 2019. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted local news and talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our podcasts, we get them up in a very timely manner, thanks to my assistant, longtime assistant, Rose Brandt. We get them up usually within an hour or so. Sometimes can take a little longer, but they're up there, all of our programs at buckmastershow.com. The live line number, 790-2040 for questions and comments. Let's go right now to the Arizona State Capitol, State Representative Dr. Randy Freese, Democrat representing District 9. Representative Freese is the House Assistant Minority Leader. Representative Freese, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks. I'm just curious. I know you were over on the House floor just a few minutes ago. Did this bill that would block local rules on tobacco and vaping come up before the House today?
It didn't come to the House floor. It has not been put on a committee of the whole calendar yet, but we did have it in our caucus this morning. So we did have a public discussion about the bill amongst the Democratic caucus.
Are you worried about this?
Worried is a interesting word. I think it is a bad bill. I think it is taking away the worst part of this bill is the preemption. It's taking away the ability of a local district, like a city, a town, a county, and even school districts and school boards from regulating tobacco. Now there are some changes that they are being proposed that, again, addresses some of those concerns. But bottom line is I think it would overly preempt the ability of a city and town to control the sale, marketing, and regulation of tobacco and tobacco products, and particularly vaping products, not allowing them to assess a fee for the license for tobacco sales like Tucson already does is a problem. It would preempt and roll those back. And it also, I believe, that the vaping products should be defined as tobacco products.
This is a tobacco industry-backed measure that would raise to 21 from 18 the age to buy and use the tobacco products. But then at the same time, the bad part of this, at least in my opinion, is what we've just been talking about, overruling the local control on these things.
Right. If you look at the bill from the very inception of the session, the bill did not have tobacco 21 age language in it. The bill was submitted. There were a couple of bills submitted in the Senate. There were bills that would redefine e-vaping products as tobacco products and put them under those same regulations as far as enforcement and things like that. This other bill that we're talking about came across later in the session, but it did not originally have the raising of the age. And I think that raising of the age was in order to try to get people to come on board. Mm-hmm. However, it is our job as representatives and elected officials, it is our charge to look at things very closely and understand that we can't be tempted. We have to look and see what's good in this bill and what is bad and what is predominant. Is it predominantly going to result in some positive change and create solutions, or is it going to predominantly result in some creating more problems or negative change? And I think that even with Tobacco 21, even with raising the age, there are more problems with this bill and proposed bill than there are benefits or solutions. So right now I'm strongly opposed to this bill, even though it does raise the age.
You think it's going to be, how's that going to go, do you think? What's your prediction on this thing?
Well, I mean, we're getting lobbied very hard. I will say that the tobacco industry is deploying a lot of resources to talk to members to convince them or confuse and confound a little bit even that the T21 outweighs the bad things, or if you know this is what you know they're saying. Oh, it's a compromise. We're willing to make T21 if we get these other things. I don't see it as a compromise. I think that the preemption is a strong red line in the sand that we can't cross, and cities need to be able to make sure that kids are protected from being enticed to begin to use these products. Now, the other argument is this is, you know, this is not combustion, this is e-vaping, it's different than cigarettes. Well, we have to remember, nicotine is powerfully addictive. And remember, Big Tobacco didn't even want to admit that until, you know, a recent history. You know, there were federal hearings on that this is addictive, and they were trying to argue otherwise. This is a highly addictive chemical, and once these kids start, they have a hard time stopping. We need to make sure that we protect the preemption or protect the ability of cities and towns to pass laws that regulate this.
State Representative Randy Freese, Dr. Freese, the House Assistant Minority Leader on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. The clock is ticking, Representative Freese, the new fiscal year. Only about 2 months away now, and the budget that the state lawmakers like yourself are supposed to fund starts July the 1st, and unlike in Congress, there are no provisions for a continuing resolution to keep a government open. So the clock is ticking. How is it looking about the budget right now?
You're right. The hard and fast deadline of June 30th is coming. This year, we were hopeful that the process would be a little bit more bipartisan because of the close numbers in the House with 29 Democrats and 31 Republicans. But the way it looks right now to me is that the majority Republican leadership in the House is acting as if they still have 35 members and a comfortable margin. And they I believe they think they can pass a budget with 31 people. But remember, that leaves no room for error.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have every single 31 of them agreeing to the budget. I think we're going to be here longer than normal. Normally, we are closing things up around the beginning of May. The first, second week of May is usually when things are winding up. Right now, I'm not hearing rumors that there's budget movement. I don't hear of deals in the making. When I say deals, that certainly has a negative connotation. But what I mean by deals are, you know, that the Republican majority is getting together and able to agree upon what they need to get 31 members to vote yes. This one of the things wrong with the budget process in Arizona is that we've not passed a budget that required a Democratic vote. We've certainly gotten Democratic votes, but they've always had their 31 Republicans first.
Mm-hmm.
This year might be the first time in a long time that we see a budget that is truly bipartisan, meaning it requires Democratic votes to pass.
And I think this has all the makings of going into June. I've been around a while, and there's all these stumbling blocks I see ahead on how to spend the $11.4 billion budgeted for the new fiscal year. That begins on July 1st. So I think there's all sorts of areas here that could bring this into June. I don't see how this is going to end anytime soon.
I think you're right. And a couple of those big areas are areas that we've been talking all session about, like tax conformity, bringing in taxable goods and goods bought online from out-of-state companies. And, of course, the rainy day fund deposit. The governor wants a very robust, large rainy day fund deposit of over $500 million. I think that might be too aggressive when we still have our schools need restoration and reinvestment. We have infrastructure problems. Our roads have been ignored for a long time, and our state roads and county and city roads are in need of attention. I think we have reason to spend some of that money. I don't disagree with a deposit in the Ready Day Fund, but I don't know if I can agree with the governor's rather robust suggestion of over $500 million.
So we may be talking to you here in a couple of weeks or even longer, Representative Freese, about this session. So and actually the per diem runs out, I believe. The lawmakers have blown past their self-imposed deadline to adjourn. That was last week. But now the next one, May 13th, that's when the state law automatically cuts per diem allowance. that right. you and your lawmakers get, aside right. from your big salary there of $24,000 a year. But your per diem would be cut by two-thirds.
Yes, that's true. Statutorily, I think it's after the 120th day, as, yep. I guess, as a little incentive to try to wind things up, the per diem drops significantly at that point.
I don't know if that will be an incentive, but we'll see. Representative Freeze, always a pleasure. Thank you, Randy, for talking with us.
Thank you, Bill. Take care.
Thanks a lot. State Representative Randy Freeze. He is the House of Representatives Assistant Minority Leader. Coming up on 12:15, before we go to Shelley Fishman over in Europe, it's time to talk about my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery. They're doing such wonderful things now with their new breakfast service. I've tried it. I've sampled several items on the menu, and it's very good. The northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise is where you will find Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. They're open right now, not only for breakfast, but also for lunch. So stop by. The website is monasdanishbakery.com. There's also a link at buckmastershow.com. Lots of very tempting items. They open at 6:30 in the morning for that hot breakfast. We'll be back with Shelley Fishman reporting from Europe right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And welcome back. It is Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Let's go now to Europe. Week three of his four-week European sojourn, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. Hi, Shelley. Where are you?
I am in Copenhagen. Not at Mona's Danish Bakery, but there's plenty of Danish bakeries.
There you go. The real home of the Danish Kringle. So you have had a
And I have it on excellent authority that the real origin of the Danish was a substitute baker brought in by one of the kings around 1910 or 1911 because his baker died and the only person he could get was from Vienna, Austria. Hmm. And so the origin of the Danish pastry is actually a piece of schnitzel schlag and pastry from Vienna.
Wow! So the roots are in Vienna. That kind of makes sense. You are in Denmark, one of the happiest places on the face of the earth. In fact, there was just another one of those surveys that came out that people in Denmark, despite being one of the most heavily taxed, are some of the most happy. So how does that all work out?
Well, the Danes are very unhappy about one thing. They lost their number one happiness rating to the Finns. They're almost as heavily taxed, but the Danes have the reputation of being the most heavily taxed nation in Europe.
Hmm.
And yet, they're also among the most content with their government systems and the services they get from the government. And we were coming from a restaurant this evening and just remarking about, you know, the collegiality that just seems to be evident in the restaurants and the places where you go and the hotels. There's a certain spirit about Copenhagen that is almost contagious. It's a charming place. And the city itself, of course, is spectacularly beautiful in many, many ways. And its history is, one of warfare, mostly with Sweden, by the way. Burning down and rebuilding and burning down and rebuilding again. And the city that has emerged is quite an exciting place to be.
Well, you know, yes, they're heavily taxed, but when you look at the United States, we don't do so well on that survey, and I think a lot of it has to do with people aren't happy with their health care. There's something about knowing you've got kind of that cradle-to-grave health care, that you're covered in these countries.
Exactly. It's not just health care. It's automatic one-year leave for having a child. It's knowing that you're going to have 5 weeks vacation. It's knowing that when you retire, you know what your retirement benefits will be. It's just having certain things that we worry about as individuals, as Americans, that most Europeans and most people in the industrialized countries don't worry about. Now, the price we pay, or the price they pay, is depending upon how you kind of calculate the statistics, is either 12% more than we pay or 3% more than we pay, depending upon what you include and what you don't include. But at any rate, they do pay more. And it's you know, well agreed that while our average individual tax rate fully loaded with all the sales taxes and the real estate taxes and everything is, you know, somewhere in the 40%, 42% range. The Danes, are paying in the 50 to 55% range. And that's a big difference.
Hmm. Shelley Fishman with us live from Copenhagen. It is our Tuesday Moneymaker Report with Shelley on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. The gross domestic product results came out on Friday, Shelley. And I'm just wondering, has it changed any minds about this kind of elephant in the room, this impending worry about going into a recession?
Well, you know, I really thought it was going to. The consensus of economists was that the first quarter was going to come in at the 2% range, and instead it came in just north of 3. I think it'll probably be revised down a little bit, but it's going to be in the 3% range. Turns out a lot of that growth is attributable to companies stocking up on inventory. And you know, we've heard that last year as well, so don't know how true that is. The growth is there. You can't deny it. And at the same time, we have very low unemployment, and inflation remains low, and the salary numbers that are been coming out, you know, almost on a weekly basis, are showing that there's some real gains in salaries. So it looks like the economy continues to crank in good form. However, when I read the economic forecasts, I'm not hearing a lot of people backing off from the assumption that sometime either the end of this year or into 2020, we're going to have a slowdown, and that slowdown might be significant.
Shelley, going back to your travels, I'm curious, how was was it 8 or 9 days on the highly publicized, not so great publicity, the Viking Star on as you did the Norwegian fjords? How was that overall? What was your rating?
It was excellent. It was the Viking Sky. We went from Amsterdam, and from Amsterdam, then up through Denmark and the Jutland Peninsula. We made a port stop at Oslo, and then back down to Gothenburg, and wound up here in Copenhagen. That brought us to, you know, several countries over 10 days. I can tell you that the ship was shipshape. It still showed some signs of you know, stained carpets and the kind of stuff that you can't fix overnight.
Right.
But it was clean. The crew was you know, not at all reticent about discussing what happened and how frightening it was, and at the same time expressed a great deal of confidence that the captain had done the right thing in anchoring the ship and calling for the evacuation of many of the passengers. It was a very, very nice cruise. One of the nicest, I mean, I've taken river cruises, not ocean cruises, but they handle, you know, 900 guests, and they handle them beautifully. And everything was as I expected, and in some ways even more, because I think they were going out of their way to prove that the ship and the itinerary were back where it needed to be.
Yeah, you were probably getting very kind of VIP. Everybody was kind of getting VIP treatment because this was the first cruise after all that very bad publicity. So definitely,
yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, they did something. Their crew has always been known for doing something that I could never understand. On a river cruise where you have maybe 120 guests, it's a little bit easier. But you'd go to the bar and order a drink. They would take your cabin number, and automatically that calls up a picture of you on their screen and your name. The next day, when you greet that bartender, either at the bar or now he or she is a waiter or whatever, they remember your name.
Oh, my goodness. How is that possible?
I have no idea. And it's not just one or two of them. I mean, you know, you'll be passing somebody, you know, in the corridor, and they'll say, "How are you, Mr. Fishman? Are you enjoying the cruise?"
Oh.
And I just, you know, what in the world? How do you train people that way? But it's that level of personal commitment that I just find really satisfying when I'm on one of these boats.
All right. So you'll be wrapping up this European sojourn next Tuesday. You'll be where?
Next Tuesday, we'll be calling from Oslo.
Okay.
Tomorrow morning on my way to Stockholm. We've had perfect weather for over 3 weeks, and it looks like that's going to change, and we're going to get normal spring weather starting in the next couple of days, which means some rain and wind. It's just been a great vacation, and I'm looking forward to spending a little bit more time in Oslo, because it's a really interesting city, as your lovely bride very well knows.
Yes, she does.
Then we'll be ending up in Bergen and then flying back to Amsterdam and home on Saturday.
All right, Shelley, thank you very much.
That's a week from Saturday.
Week from Saturday, right. Okay, Shelley,
right.
Be safe. Enjoy what's left of your vacation. Got some great memories to make coming up. Thanks, Shelley. All right.
You bet. Thanks, Bye. Bill. Bye-bye. Okay.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. You might want to mark your calendar. The Silver City Blues Festival is coming up over the Memorial Day weekend. We're only about a month away from the Blues Festival, May 24th through the 26th in Silver City. It's only a three-hour drive, give or take a few minutes from the Tucson area. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find a complete listing of many great places to stay and so many recreation opportunities in a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Let's go now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Beth Gorman is with us. Beth is the Senior Program Manager for the Pima County Department of Environmental Quality. Beth, how are you?
I'm feeling better. I got hit by that flu. But
you did?
Each day I'm getting stronger and stronger and no fevers anymore. So that's a good thing.
Did you get the flu shot?
I did.
Wow.
I did. And I was actually patting myself on the back because I had made it through the entire winter, hadn't gotten sick at all. And, you know, even being in an office building with lots of people. And then all of a sudden it hit me.
Yeah. Well, it's the latest recorded flu season, I think, in about 30 years. Normally flu, the peak happens in February, March, but this one's still been going on, so hopefully it's about over. The air quality yesterday was not good, Beth.
We had some winds.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's something that's hard. We can't control that. But actually, there was only a few hours where our monitors picked up really high readings, so that was good. And, of course, people who live near construction sites or, you know, live near areas where there's vacant land that's been disturbed, you know, those are the places that they're bound to see some dust become airborne when you've got gusts to 40 miles an hour. But in general, overall, it was all right air quality wise. But not good if you're in a dust prone area.
Are we in this what they call the ozone season now? And ozone air pollution can irritate the eyes, the nose, the lungs, make it very hard for people with respiratory issues to breathe. Is this now the beginning of the ozone season?
Yes. And when we talk about ozone, there's always a lot of confusion. We're not talking about the protective ozone layer that's up in the stratosphere. We're talking about something called ground level ozone, which is a pollutant that's formed when you have a photochemical reaction with a couple of different pollutants, and they combine together under intense sunlight. And this time of the year, from usually about April through September, the sun is just more directly above us, and it intensifies that reaction. So this is when we start seeing the high levels of ozone, and it'll continue throughout the summer, depending on the weather and whether there's cloud cover to block the sun from that reaction occurring. But it can be a really dangerous pollutant for a lot of people in our community.
Anything we could do to mitigate it, Beth?
Lots of different things. And you know, we always talk about how trying to drive less is overall helps our air quality. There's a lot of other things people can do as well. They can try to avoid drive-throughs this time of the year, you know, just park and go inside. Or if you're going to choose to be in a drive-through, just turn the engine off while you're waiting and then turn it back on again when you need it, because that's going to help, even just, you know, turning the engine off and on. But if you're sitting there idling your engine, you're putting pollution into the air. So whenever we could avoid drive-throughs, maybe try to skip idling as much as possible. And then think about when you're going out in your car, plan your trips and combine a bunch of different errands into one trip, because your car is much more efficient when it's warmed up, when the engine's warmed up.
Beth,
so that's a good thing. Also, and then checking your tires, making sure they're properly inflated. That's going to help.
Beth Gorman is with us, Senior Program Manager, Pima County Department of Environmental Quality. You're listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk on the Buckmaster Show. How do we do in that state of the air report that comes out annually from the American Lung Association?
That comes out, that just came out last week as well. So it was a pretty exciting week. We had our first air quality health watch, and then we went right into the state of the air report. The Lung Association gave us mixed reviews, basically, for one pollutant called particulate matter that's small particles, 2.5 microns or less. We got an A for that. But then we got a D for the pollutant that we were just talking about, the ground level ozone, because in the past couple of years, we've had several days where the levels of ozone got into the unhealthy range. And there's, you know, there's a lot of people in our community that are susceptible when air quality is poor. We've got almost 100,000 people, children and adults, that have asthma. We've got a lot of people with COPD, people with heart disease. So there's a lot of people in our community who are affected when air pollution is poor. And the Lung Association just wants everybody to know about that, and then, but also to know that there's things that we can do as a community working together to try to improve air quality.
This is National Air Quality Awareness Week. Today is actually the focus is on wildfire smoke, and that's been a huge issue throughout the West in recent summers.
Yes, yeah, and fortunately, we won't have any wildfires. I mean, that's what we'd all be hoping.
You're right.
That everybody is careful and not throwing cigarettes out the window and, you know, making sure that they're not causing sparks if they're taking their vehicle off the roads. But basically just planning ahead is really important, just in case we do have a fire, to know, first of all, you know, where to go to get air quality information. But then the other thing is that if your area, if you happen to be close to where the smoke is coming in, it may not be picked up on our monitors. So you need to protect yourself. If you smell smoke, there's a good chance that you're breathing it and it's getting into your house. And if you're really sensitive, you may want to have a plan in place to be able to go somewhere where you'll be protected. And maybe it's a mall, maybe it's a community center, somewhere out of that area where you can have respite from that smoky air.
Is there a place that folks can find out about our air quality on your website, perhaps?
Yes. Fancy that you should mention that. Yes, we do. And we have real-time air pollution levels available, so you can get up-to-the-hour air pollution information. And basically just go to our website, which is pima.gov/DEQ, Department of Environmental Quality, and then look for the link to current air quality. And you can get all kinds of information on our website. In addition to, you know, the air quality levels, you can also get actions that you can take to improve air quality.
The Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, you have received a grant, I understand, something to do with lawnmowers and garden equipment.
Yes, and this is so exciting, although I think it's going to be a challenge to find those here in Tucson. But I know about 15, 20 years ago, we had a collection also through the state. They gave us a grant. And basically what we're trying to do is find people who are using gas-powered lawnmowers and gas-powered gardening equipment. And maybe it's a small mom-and-pop, you know, landscaping company. Maybe it's a resort, golf courses, or as some individuals, they may have some little lawns tucked in behind their house. But, you know, we're hoping to actually collect about 800 pieces of gas-powered equipment. And then in return, people will receive a voucher. For, it depends on what type of equipment they turn in. Could be $150 for a gas-powered lawnmower. Or for commercial mowers, it could be up to $200. And then this is to purchase a electric or a battery-powered mower, which would be much cleaner and not as emitting that type of pollution.
Well, if this program was being broadcast from my hometown back in Chicago, you would have no problem finding a couple of hundred people with gas-powered lawnmowers.
Well, so, and you know, Bill, when we did it, like I said, about 20 years ago, we actually collected over 2,000 pieces of equipment.
Wow, so they're out there.
They're out there somewhere, and we want to get them off the streets and get cleaner equipment out working to help keep the air clean.
All right. Gosh, it's good to hear from you, Beth Gorman. I'm glad you're feeling better after a bout with the flu, a late season bout with the flu, but quite common, unfortunately, this year. Yeah. Beth, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Beth Gorman, Senior Program Manager, Pima County Department of Environmental Quality. You're listening to Buckmaster. That's the name of the program on 1030, Trusted Local News and Talk. Let's do the Green Things thing right now. The live read from Green Things, where an extraordinary collection of Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, handmade furniture, lighting, home accessories and gifts, plus 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more. Here's what we've got. We've got Zocalo, five great shops with all that merchandise from all over Mexico and Latin America. Beautiful handmade things. Five shops in Zocalo Village, all part of Green Things at 3384 East River Road. They're open daily. Go to greenthingsaz.com or Zocalo Village, that's Z-O-C-A-L-O, village.com. Mike Hicks is in the house. Mike, the former president of the Tucson Unified Governing Board, is trying his hand now at a run for Tucson City Council. Mike will tell us all about it and why he feels he can be elected in the council. We'll be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Every day, your safety and freedom is protected by the service and sacrifice of our first responders and military. Please join us in this community effort to build the Southern Arizona Veterans and First Responders Living Memorial, a place to celebrate those who have paid the price for our freedom and those who continue to defend it today. Help create a space where these memories, past, present, and future, will live forever. Learn more and donate by visiting vfrm.org.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
All right, welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. With me in studio, Mike Hicks. Mike has gathered the signatures. He's turned them in for his run.
I haven't turned them in yet.
Oh, you haven't turned them in. Okay, Mike, it's good to see you, by the way. You're running as a Republican in Ward 4. A longtime Tucson City Councilwoman Shirley Scott is retiring. That means there's an open seat, so we'll see who you will be facing in the general election, because I don't believe you have an opponent. You will not be primaried, right, in the
That's
Republican.
Correct.
Yeah. Mike Hicks served how many years, Mike, on the board at TUSD?
I served 8 years on the board of TUSD, mm-hmm. and I ended up becoming the board president.
So 8 years at TUSD, and you've been teaching over at Pima Community College for over 30 years. Mike is an accomplished motorcycle rider. He actually teaches motorcycle safety as well, correct?
Correct.
Mike is the godfather. His godfather was the well-known Tucson Republican Mayor Lou Murphy from 1972 to 1989. Did Mayor Murphy talk a lot about politics with you, Mike, as you were growing up?
No, not that much. I mean, we got a bunch of knowledge from him. He helped me when I was on the Pima College. We had the Students for Better Leadership is when we were that's when Pima College had some issues with their accreditation.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I got involved with the student government, became the campus president, and then became the district president, wrote the constitution, rewrote it for the school board.
Is this something you've always wanted to do beyond the council?
Yes, actually. I've been seeing one thing that he instilled on us was if there's an issue, just don't complain about it. Do something about it, or have some type of response for a condition that's going on. And this is my response, is I'm going to do something about it. When I ran for the TUSD school board, it was when the school board was looking at closing schools, and they were doing that with erroneous information that I thought was pretty bad. So I said, that's it. I'm going to run.
Why do you think you can win citywide in this election?
I believe that I'm a man of my word. I'm a man that will get what I say get done. I did it in TUSD, and I will do it in the city. I see a lot of issues in regards to the budget. I think there's been a lot of misappropriations with the budget as to how the appropriating of the budget, the city budget of $1.4 billion now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot that needs to be looked at. Police and fire, public safety have been underfunded. Police only has 870 sworn officers. I want to see at least 1,200 sworn officers. 2017, there was 1,200 sworn officers, so we reduced that.
Downtown has taken off, Mike, but a lot of people say, well, it's great that the downtown is doing so well, but what about the other parts of the city? What's your take on that?
There are so many other areas within the city that needs to also be looked at. I mean, we're at 24% poverty rate in the city, and which is just
almost one
unfathomable.
Almost one out of five, or one out of four people.
Oh, yeah. It's nuts. So we need to start looking at getting... And part of my campaign is, if I get elected, I'm going to bring in $2 billion worth of new business that's going to equate to over 40,000 new high-paying jobs.
How can you do that, Mike Hicks?
Well, it takes commitment, working with others, working with private and public partnerships. We need to work with our partners out there, and there's a lot of aerospace that's out there that's moving in or wanting to move in. And I have the individuals that can work with me, and I can work with them to be able to get this done.
What part of town is Ward 4?
Ward 4 is on the southeast side.
Okay.
It is south of 22nd Street and east of Columbus, mm-hmm. except there's a little area up by 22nd, between 22nd and 29th, and at Harrison Road. That it's Ward 2, and I found out that that was because somebody was in there when in mm-hmm. that area when it got redistricted.
Is it an economically depressed area, Ward 4?
Not necessarily. I mean, we have our challenges. Ward 4, as with every ward in the community, I mean, it's a community thing. So it's we do have some areas that have some distress in it. So, you know, everyone keeps thinking, oh, Ward 4, that's, you know, the rich people and mm-hmm, all that. Mm-hmm. No, we're just middle class working people.
You talked about economic development. You've talked about yep. public safety. You haven't talked about transportation, water, or energy.
Well, public works is a big deal. I, as one who worked for the transportation department for over 23 years, I know the issues.
What were you doing for them?
For most of the time, I was their IT manager, and then my last about 10 years, I was the signal engineer for the city of Tucson, so I okay. did all the traffic signals and all that.
Wow.
I understand the issues with transportation and the challenges in regards to not just our roads, but our infrastructure in regards to moving traffic along efficiently. And some of it's not being done, and we need to look at that. I'm looking at some of the smart cities. There's been some talk about smart cities within the city. There's some council members who are talking about it. I want to work with some bigger companies and take some of the information from them, like Siemens and Rockwell Collins and them, and be able to really get a good smart city look at our transportation. Not only getting that in here, but to be able to even to sustain that availability.
Now, we had the chief on the show, Chief Magnus, on Friday, and he said it's time, Mike Hicks, that we readdress the whole red light camera situation because the red light runners are just seem to be out of control. What's your take on that?
Well, as the former signal engineer,
yeah.
one who, and by the way, we never did lower any of the yellows.
Really?
Well, I was the only one who had the ability to do that.
Huh.
I like the red light running cameras. I was not appreciative of how the police department chose to enforce the red light cameras. They were enforcing it in an area that I believe was not indignant of a true red light running. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a problem with red light running cameras. I do have a problem with how they are implemented.
How was the yellow? How many seconds on the yellow?
It depends on which intersections. In fact, at most of the, or actually at all of the photo enforcement intersections at the time, we actually added a half a second because we decided that it became a complex intersection. So we actually gave another half a second. But how the police department was enforcing, they were enforcing at the prolongation of the curb lane, which is the definition
right.
of, in Arizona, the definition of an intersection, not at the stop bar. And
okay.
I believe at the stop bar is where they should have been enforcing it.
Mike, we're going to have to run. Where can people find out more about you and the campaign?
I have a website. It's Hicks, the number 4, Tucson.com. You can go up and donate. We're still looking for donations. Anything would help. We're almost all the way for our $10 donations. We're running a clean elections. And it's, again, it's hicks4tucson.com. And I have donations up there and some information. and phone number. They can call me or email me.
All right, Mike Hicks, we'll talk to you more as the campaign gets cranked up. Thanks, Mike. Good to see you.
Thank you. I'm always appreciative of you and your audience.
Thank you very much. Mike Hicks, running for Tucson City Council. On behalf of Bob Dio, my engineer producer, and Mr. Hicks, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon and evening. We have coming up next around the table with Jennifer English. That program is next on 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk.